This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Democrats have been worried about Ralph Nader and his efforts to get on the ballot. Currently, the consumer activist is on the ballot in about 34 states, but of all the so-called minor candidates, it's the Libertarian Party's Michael Badernick who has the best access. His name will appear on 48 state ballots and the District of Columbia. As NPR's Greg Allen reports, Libertarians think this just might be their year to make a difference.
It's St. Louis on the evening of the second presidential debate. A few blocks from the debate hall, protesters are marching. At the front of the pack, amidst the jeans, T-shirts, signs, and drums, there's a man wearing a business suit. It's the Libertarian candidate for president, Michael Badernick, insisting he should be allowed to join the debate.
I'm a legitimate candidate from a legitimate party, and the American voters have a right to hear my message.
This is the life of a third-party candidate. While President Bush and Senator Kerry are inside the hall preparing to debate before an audience of 43 million TV viewers, Michael Badernick is out here making plans to get himself arrested, struggling to get a mention on the local 10 o'clock news. Badernick, a 50-year-old former computer programmer from Austin, Texas, isn't here on a lark. He's been on the road campaigning, first for his party's nomination, now for the presidency, for more than a year and a half. He says he averages 6 to 12 interviews a day, driving, taking commercial flights, chartering small planes when possible. Here in St. Louis, he's greeted by about a dozen supporters, many of whom already know Badernick personally, including St. Louis University grad student Kevin Vallier.
You know, the man, we think, of course, driver's licenses and things are unconstitutional, and he doesn't have one, and he's been arrested several times for it, and he just will not submit to something that he thinks is wrong, and I respect that. A lot of people think it's crazy, but the idea of having someone in this country that's actually willing to stand up for principle, I think is worthy of respect, not of being laughed at.
Yeah, no more war, gotta keep working, put an end to war.
A day later, Michael Badernick has gotten himself arrested, gotten out of jail, and flown across the state to Kansas City, where he's preparing to speak to about 20 supporters at a recreation center in Independence, Missouri.
I'm a Libertarian candidate for president, and a couple of the problems that I face in this election are, first of all, 50% of the people in the United States have never even heard of the Libertarian Party, and unfortunately,
it's been more than 30 years since the party was founded. Although by most measures it's the third largest party after Democrats and Republicans, for Libertarians, unfortunately, their best days came 24 years ago, when the party won nearly a million votes, taking more than 1% of the total nationally. Since then, the Libertarian share of the presidential vote has declined, but the party has continued to organize down ticket and has some 600 members holding office across the country. They all share one idea, the Libertarian principle that when it comes to government, less is more. Following the rally, actually it was more of a gathering, Michael Badernick jumps into a car and talks about his party on the way to the airport. He says a close look at the Constitution shows that the Founding Fathers only intended that the federal government assume authority over matters the states couldn't attend to. Things like national defense, coining money, and the post office.
If you read Article 1, Section 8, there are only 18 things that government is allowed to do, federal government. And so anything that our federal government is doing, which is not on that list, it is by definition unconstitutional.
Libertarian ideas have made it into the mainstream. Their belief in the power of free markets, for example. Others, while still on the fringe, influence the political debate. On the stump, Badernick says if elected, he'd eliminate the IRS, all federal gun control, and the Department of Education. And that's just for starters. Libertarians also favor eliminating Social Security and Medicare, and legalizing marijuana, cocaine, and other drugs. They also believe the government has no business passing laws prohibiting gay marriage. With non-negotiable positions like these, there's little mystery why the Libertarian Party has remained on the outside of American politics. But there are areas in the country where they do well, in Nevada and New Mexico, for example, where one poll over the summer gave Badernick 5% of the presidential vote. Lawrence Jacobs, a political scientist at the University of Minnesota's Humphrey Institute, says New Mexico is just one state where the Libertarians or other third parties may have a deciding influence in this election.
They're going to be probably about a half a dozen states that are very close. Maybe not Florida close, but, you know, within a point or two. And if those third-party candidates can draw 1 to 2%, they could well be the kingmakers.
However, given the closeness of the election between President Bush and Senator Kerry, Jacobs expects voters to be even more hesitant this year about casting their ballots for a third-party candidate. As to that, Bodnarik says at rallies and in interviews, quote, "The only wasted vote is the one cast for the lesser of two evils." He says if enough Americans hear that message, the Libertarian Party will count it as a victory, even if he doesn't make it to the White House. Greg Allen, NPR News, Kansas City.